This Remembrance Sunday, I thought I would refer to a few scriptures where remember or remembering are referred, because the Word of God has quite a lot to teach us about remembering. And we're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and at verse 13, this is what the writer to the book of Ecclesiastes said. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth amongst fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Today men and women, of course, have been remembering what happened away back in World War I in the years 1914, 1918, and World War II, 1939, 1948, and the wars that have taken place since. It may very well be that after the First World War, folks hoped that that would be the end of war altogether. It was a world war and it had been completed and it was over with. Hopefully there wouldn't be another, but unfortunately there was. And since the Second World War, there's been wars all over the world since. But there are still those today, those many years later, who still want to remember what happened, because men and women, lives were taken in order that those at home might have peace eventually. And so the sacrifice that was made by all the troops and all those who were involved, there are those today who are still thankful for what took place. But here's a little interesting incident in this book of Ecclesiastes, where a people face disaster, and yet when they were saved from it, they weren't prepared to remember the person who was the one who brought about their salvation on that occasion. It was only a little city, and there were few men within it. Normally it was the men who made up the fighting force, as it still is today. So there'd be many women and children in it, but few men to face the foe. And it says, there came a great king against it. There must have been something about this little city that this king thought was worth conquering it for. So this great king, with all his might, came against this little city with a few men in it. And he besieged it, and he built great bulwarks against it. And of course the watchman in the wall, as he looked over and saw the amazing number of soldiers and these great bulwarks that they were putting against the wall so that eventually they could enter into the city, and completely surrounding it so that no one could get out. It was completely besieged. There was nothing they could do, was there? A completely hopeless situation. And then we're told about this poor wise man. It tells us that it was by his wisdom that that city was saved. It doesn't go into the details of how it came about, but it was known to the writer of this book that this event took place. And that city was saved from that great king and all his troops because of the wisdom of that poor man. And he draws this conclusion that wisdom is better than weapons of war. You know, we believe in an only wise God. A God who's completely in control. And it matters not what the forces are against him. He is always able to prevail and to have the victory. There are those who would seek to spoil God's creation. Those who would seek to build up their forces against it. Satan in particular. But how does God defeat Satan? How does God defeat the armies of the enemies that would fight against him, whether in the heavens or on earth? He does it by his wisdom. He does it through his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might. That's what some people hoped when they realized who Jesus really was. Are you going to set up your kingdom? No, it was by dying on a cross. Something that completely alien to the human mind. By dying on a cross that he won the greatest victory of all. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 9 it says this, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Reminds us of the poor wise man, doesn't it? Christ was willing to forego the riches of heaven to become poor on earth in order that we who were poor might become rich. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 53, we read these lovely words. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Despised and rejected. It said here, the poor man's wisdom is despised. His words are not heard. We esteemed him not. Is it possible that in our hearts we don't give credence to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he died on that cross? He was willing to be despised and rejected of men. He was willing to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Are we hiding our faces? Are we esteeming him not? Are we treating him like the poor man in this incident? That's what happened in his case. It says in verse 16, "His words are not heard." Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 3 tells us about the words that were spoken by Moses to Israel on the day, well, the days before they were going to go into the promised land. After the 40 years in the wilderness, after having come out of Egypt, they were ready to cross the Jordan. Moses himself wasn't going to go over. But if you read through Deuteronomy, you learn all the things that he reminds them of concerning the commands and the requirements of the God who had brought them out of Egypt. And so what does he say in chapter 8? He says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. The poor man's words weren't heard. Moses is saying to the Israelites before they enter the promised land, make sure that you remember every word of the Lord and his commands. That's important. Thou shalt remember, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And that's an important lesson for all of us to learn. That the word of the Lord matters in our lives as well as in the lives of the Israelites. And of course, John 1 verse 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Lord Jesus Christ himself was the Word. And when we listen to him, we hear the words of God Almighty. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." The word shall stand forever. Do we despise the word of God? Do we not listen when he speaks? Matthew 24 says, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." That was the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives concerning the signs of Christ's coming to judgment. If they hadn't listened to that poor wise man, they would have been defeated. And yet, they forgot about him. They didn't remember. They ignored him. Listen to the words in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The day of judgment's coming. But Jesus says, if you hear my word, if you believe in him that sent me, you'll not come into condemnation. No, you'll have everlasting life. You'll be passed from death, which is your due, to life. I wonder, have we all come under the benefit of listening to the word, remembering what Jesus said, and taking action and believing? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 has something else to tell us. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Remember now thy Creator. Remember now. It's important, whatever our age, to remember our Creator. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 tells us, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's important to ever remember. And to ever remember the one who made us and who sustains us and who through his Son saves us. Remember now thy Creator. Over and over again, you'll find in the Old Testament scriptures and through many Psalms reference to the God who created the heavens and the earth. Right at the beginning of our Bible, now it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Psalm 136, verses 1 and 5 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever." The psalmist felt thanks welling up within him that he had to give expression to, and the whole of that hymn, that psalm, is that. Because he realized who God really is. John in 1 verse 1, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And that scripture is referring to the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The one who was present when the worlds were created. The one who was the Word. The Word of God, he was the one in whom we have redemption through his blood. He was the one who brings about forgiveness of sins, because he came and died on that cross. How wonderful. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And that's important. It's through faith that we understand. It's not by looking around us. When we look around, we see the majesty of God in the heavens and on earth. When we see the good things that God made and keep our eyes from what man has done to it, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Unfortunately, the youth of today are taught that science rules out the possibility of creation. But that is quite wrong. Science, which purports to be based on facts, cannot disprove the facts that God is and God created. They remain facts. And we, by faith, understand them. We have time to look at another Psalm, 137. And listen to what it says. "Here's the children of Israel, and they're in a far off land. They're taken captive, and here's what they're saying. by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Here's a people who are remembering not a great victory that brought about their salvation. They're remembering a way back in the days before they were taken captive. And everything was well in the land of Israel, and especially in Jerusalem and in Zion. And that's what they remembered on this particular occasion. And they wept because of their present condition. A condition that didn't need to apply to them if only they had listened to the word of God. If only God's wisdom in commanding them certain things so that they would enjoy life to the full as He wanted. But they didn't. They went their own way. And here they're weeping as they remember. We remember today, we're thankful for what others did for us so that we could be free. Here they are thinking what's happened to them. And it goes on, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Oh, the songs of Zion. Just read through the Psalms, and we'll refer to some of them today. The songs of Zion that they used to sing. Sing us some of them, their captives say. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What a situation. They couldn't sing as they used to because of their present condition. And a condition that had been brought about because they had disobeyed God. God repeatedly, by his prophets, warned Israel. And later, when the nation split into two parts, both Israel and Judah, God warned that judgment would come upon them if they did not obey his commands and statutes. If Israel and Judah persisted in their disobedience, then they would be taken captive by other nations and no more inhabit the promised land to which God and his goodness had brought them. And over again, God held back his judgment to give them time to repent, to confess their sin, to stop worshipping other gods that weren't gods at all. But eventually, their consistent disobedience left God no option but to bring his judgment upon them. And first of all, the breakaway tribes were taken captive by a northern nation. And then Judah was defeated and taken captive. And in 587 BC, it actually happened that Jerusalem was destroyed. And the last of the people were taken into exile by that great king Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. And there in Babylon, the captives voiced their utter despair. Beside these rivers of Babylon, which were canals between the rivers Euphrates and the Tigris, the harps that should have been instruments of joy cannot be used because they refuse to sing. They can't. How could they when Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And so they're saying to themselves, we're here, we're in this dreadful situation, but don't forget what it used to be like. And so it is. If we persist in going our own ways, we can only look forward to coming judgment. The true blessing of God that puts a song in the heart, a song of praise to our God like the psalmist. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, he said. That song can't be ours if we persist in going our own way. A response from the heart is impossible in these circumstances to the great God in heaven. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Israel eventually didn't escape and were taken captive. Thankfully, God brought about the situation that they did eventually return to their land. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard him? If we do not respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, Romans 5 tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, it was then that Christ did everything to bring us to himself. John 5 and 24, we already read, "He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Hebrews 8 and verse 12 says, "The Lord says, I will be merciful, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." For those who hear, for those who believe, for those who have life, there is a blessed remembrance, not annually, as we do today for the world wars and those who perished in them, but many times throughout the year. Indeed, many of us, it's a weekly remembrance when we meet to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. We do something in remembrance of him. We take the cup, reminding us of his shed blood. And before that, we take the bread, reminding us that he became a man amongst men in order that he could die on that cross. We all today live in the good of the many lives that were sacrificed during the two world wars. But are we all living in the good of the death of Christ for us 2,000 years ago? That death that brings benefits that extend from this life into eternity. Let me end with another psalm. And here the psalmist hasn't been taken captive. He's living in the land. He's the king of the land. And at this time, Israel is a great land to be in and a great nation to govern. And here's what David the king says in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." A man who knew his God. A man who knew that God was holy. A man who knew that God demands of his creatures obedience. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Have you forgotten? Have you known his benefits to forget them? Oh, if you read that psalm again, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." That was David's experience in his life. "He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Do you know him? David knew him. "As far as the east is from the west." Now you tell me how far that is. "How far, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." A God who forgives, a God who cleanses, a God who saves, a God who gives everlasting life. But you and I have got to respond to him. Believe in him, and respond to him and accept his son as yours. Are you forgetting or are you remembering? What's your experience of God and Christ this morning? Can you look back and be thankful for what he did for us 2,000 years ago and what he's doing for us now at the right hand of God? Let's pray.